Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday edition of Busted Open. You're listening to the podcast edition. I'm Ryan McKinnell in for David LaGreca. I got the champ, AEW World Champ, Thunder Rosa, stopping by for all 3 hours today here on the show. And we cover Thunder's match, her tag team match on Wednesday against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. She dives into the intricacies of that match, and we take a look ahead to Saturday's Battle of the Belts, where Thunder meets Jamie Hayter for her AEW World Championship. And also on this episode, speaking of world champions, we got Ring of Honor World Champion Claudio Castagnoli stopping by for a very informative chat. So sit back, relax, click play. Let's get it going. Let's bust it open on a Friday.
We had a lot of praise for this match. We were on the second segment. We were given an opportunity to not be on the semi-main. We were on the second segment. And honestly, everybody that was in that match showed up to work, and we had a great match.
It was awesome. And to your point, Thunder, you got the time, which I loved. Yes. Like, it was a great story that was told. Everyone was fully invested. Jamie was busting her ass. Britt was busting her ass. You, Tony. It just was a really great tag team match, especially for a TV show, which sometimes those things are reserved for, pay-per-views, Thunder.
Yeah, and I think all of us, when we were in the ring together, you can see it. There's like, there was an energy there. And like I said, probably the energy was, I was pissed because I'm tired of people making fun of me. I'm tired of people like bullying me in a way. So using the sandbagging t-shirt is a way for me to say, keep bullying me because I'm going to make money out of it. Straight up. You're going to call me fat. Well, guess what? I'm like the biggest fat bitch in the world. Boom. I'm going to do it because I'm going to own it. I'm not a sandbagger. Just let's be honest.
Yeah.
But people are going to have their opinions. Fine. Fine, have your opinions. Mm-hmm. Right there on Wednesday, the four of us, we showed up, show off, and we have the people chanting, this is awesome. Why? Because they don't get to see this all the time. Britt and Jamie have been together for a while now. For a while. Yep. And they came with the same gear and everything. Tony and I, we just started, and we're learning from each other, right?
Yep.
But we have a lot of chemistry. There was four women that have a lot of chemistry. The match was really good. There's, of course, I'm super particular about myself. There's things that I need to work on. There's little mistakes that I feel like I could have done better. But Overall, people were invested in this match. Yep. People have been invested in this match. So, with that said, it is important that people focus on the good things that are happening and the little strides that we're making to make the AEW women's division better, instead of focusing on the negative. Because that's what you want ratings. How about you actually, focus on those things that, they did this great, blah, 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 or whatever. And instead of like always tearing it apart, always.
That's asking a lot of professional wrestling fans to ask them to not.
No, and I'm not really. I'm kidding.
No, I'm kidding from the standpoint that, like, it's inherently negative, right? Like, it can be Star Wars. It can be Marvel Cinematic Universe. It can be pro wrestling. You always get those few folks where the noise from the negative is so much louder than the positive. But to your point, Thunder, that can change, right? You can shift the narrative, if you will, right? You can control your narrative, but you can. There are many different ways that you can go out there and sort of change the feeling and the flow of not just an company, Thunder, but an entire business and an entire, you know, sport in the case of professional wrestling, right? Because we've seen it throughout different eras. There's been different eras of this business.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like people are so used to seeing certain type of wrestling for so many years, right?
Yes.
Like, and then one thing, another thing that I heard, and it was criticism that I heard. It was like, we were hitting each other really hard. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something, guys. You guys want us to have a bras and panties match? And like, shake our asses again? I mean, if that's what you want, fine. But yeah, when we see us bleeding, when we see us like hitting hard, why you guys are not saying nothing about some of the guys hitting each other really hard? Tell me. You tell me. It's 2022. We're demanding for equality in the business. We're giving the time and we're giving what we do and what we do best. And that's what you guys saw on Wednesday. And we want to get better every time we get in the ring. So if you're asking me to look like people used to look because they were forced to look like that, I'm going to tell you no. Tony Khan brought me here to AEW for a reason. For a reason, and I said it, right the first time I got to AEW. I'm here to help to bring the AEW women's division to another level. And I said that at the beginning, and I continue to say that as the AEW women's world champion. That's my commitment to professional wrestling. That is my commitment to women's professional wrestling. That is why I have created different organizations that I dedicated for women as Mission Pro Wrestling. Because we don't have still in 2022 spaces for women that want to be professional wrestlers. There's only one match on regular shows or two matches. It's 2020. Some of these women are great athletes, but they're not given a chance to showcase what they can do.
I love it.
I might be able to be a little lighter. You know, that's true. However, I am an MMA fighter too. I am a fighter and I'm fiery, and this is what I bring to the table. You saw it many times. All out, my first match, I'm like, lights out match.
Yeah.
The cage match. That was violent. I couldn't walk for 2 weeks, guys, after that match. Because of the how it was and how much I was wrestling before. I love professional wrestling. This sport has given me everything I have. And I will give back just as much as I've gotten. Because I respect this business. I started from the bottom. My trainers, and I said that last week, used to beat the crap out of me because they said, Melissa, if you don't make this real, nobody's going to believe it. You're a girl wrestler, not a woman. A girl wrestler. Mm. Have you seen their matches lately, how they look? You don't want to look like that. You want to look like a guy, like a real wrestler. And that's what we're training you to do. When I went to Japan, same thing. They didn't take it easy on us. When I went to Mexico, hell no. Ask the girls. Those girls are stiff. They go. Ask Taya. Ask La Guerra Loca what happened to her. And she learned real quick that she needed to get it together. They don't take it easy on you. Now it's different. They want to work with each other. But still, it's strong style.
Yeah.
So if that's the criticism is that we were a little hard on each other, yes, we were. And guess what happened? We had a great match. We had fun and it looked good and we brought it. That brings me to this Saturday where I have a match with Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter is not one of those girls that just comes and like, she's gorgeous and everything, but she brings it. She was in Japan for a long time. She was champion in Japan. So she don't hold back. That's one of those opponents that I love wrestling with her because she doesn't hold back.
And I, and Thunder, full disclosure, I'm a fan of Jamie Hayter. I like what she brings to the ring. I like her style. And we talk about it all the time. Styles make fights. You and her on Saturday at Battle of the Belts, that's a couple of styles that's definitely going to make for a good fight.
Oh, no, it is. I mean, in November, back in November when we were doing the tournament, we face each other. I can tell you, I feel Jamie Hayter in my body for the next 2 weeks.
I believe it.
I mean, she's a young talent. She's developing herself. And man, like, she's the future, man. She is the future. She's one of those talents and where you're like, man, if you put your money in, you're going to get it back because she loves this business. She has a very, very, very wonderful story about herself, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to be talking about what I really think is going to happen this Saturday.
And I was going to say, let's do that, Thunder, because I don't want to stop you. We got a fired up Thunder Rosa here to kick off the show. We still got 2.5 hours more to go, but let's pay some bills real quick. And Thunder, when we come back, I definitely want to hear from you about what your expectations are against Jamie Hayter. We can talk about the history. We can talk about the violence. We can talk about it all when myself and the champ return here on a False Count Anywhere Friday edition of Busted Open.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick, Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog, not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
I'm ready to defend this title.
Yep.
No matter with who, no matter with what, and anywhere.
Well, you proved me,
Rosa. And I know. I got this. I have a big target on my back, and it hasn't gone away. I'm the biggest target in the company for X, Y, and Z. Always. It doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter what I don't do. I still have a target on my back. And I know if Jamie were to get this, it's just to keep the little team like going like, yeah, we're the shit. Cause that's what they think. That's how they call that. That's how they walk around in the locker room. Like they're the queen bees in this bitch, but I gotta remember everybody and I gotta keep everybody humble. I'm la jefa in that place, man. I'm la jefa. You guys like it or not? I'm la jefa. I am the champion.
Yep.
I am the champion. And I have worked my ass off every single day to be where I am. Right. And Jamie, I'm not scared. And yes, we have setbacks and stuff. And I have had some things happen and like doubts happen in my mind, but then this one, I don't have a doubt. There's not a doubt in my mind that I can't do this on my own again.
Now you talk about the locker room, you talk about being the champion, you talk about sort of raising the bar and I guess being the pace setter, if you will, Thunder. That and listen, I know you've been a champion other places, you have a long list of accolades, but that responsibility and that mantle that you sort of carry, what's that been like for you over these past few months, being the champion of that locker room, carrying that responsibility? I know it's not completely unfamiliar, but it is All Elite Wrestling. It is just 3 years into this thing, right? Like you are in a lineage. It's a brief lineage of women's champions. I'm just curious, like what's the run been like for you and what's that responsibility been like for you?
The responsibility is very high because, you might, there's days that you question yourself, that you question that you're doing the right thing, that you question that the things that you're doing are right. But at the end of the day, when I go to sleep, I'm like, I did my best. I try my best. And I continue to represent the AEW women's division with pride and honor. And it's so funny because I was watching UFC this week.
Yeah.
And Brandon Moreno, who's, the babyface assassin, he lost his championship on the first defense that he had. And he worked his ass off.
Against Davidson Figueroa.
Yes.
And they have had, and they're scheduled now for a fourth fight. They just keep pitting these two against each other. But you're right. Your countryman, Brandon Moreno, got a ton of pride.
And I thought about how easy we go from up and downs and everything. But it's the matter of like how hard you're going to work to keep it and how hard you're going to work to gain it again. right? Yeah, so in those moments and where I feel that I am about to lose it, that I might feel that I'm not good enough, I work even harder mentally, physically, and spiritually to get where I need to get. Because, man, you just got me fired up, bro. You just got me fired up. Being a champion is not easy.
Yeah.
Because the eyes are on you all the time. And sometimes you have, your performances are not great, but you have to make sure the next one, when you step in that ring, you show why you're the damn champion. And I heard him, I heard Brandon talk, and it speaks to me, because he's the first Mexican in UFC to be a champion. And yes, I am the first Mexican born woman in the history of wrestling to be a champion of a major company. And I continue to say, and I know some of you guys are tired, but I'm going to keep saying it. I'm the first one of my kind. The first one. The women with an accent. I'm going to start crying. With accent, I'm older than everyone.
You're going to make me cry. Don't cry. That's not good. I don't know what it was, all crying, but I understand the emotion, Thunder.
Me defending,
I do and I don't.
Yeah, me defending this championship is everything. I don't come alone. Yes, Jamie Hayter has her passes. She has Britt Baker. She has Rebel. And I know what they're all about. I know them very damn well. But I have a Thunder army with me. People that are in the stands, people that are in Mexico, people that are everywhere, that believe in what I'm doing, that believe that every time I get in the ring, I'm fighting for them. And this Saturday, one of my friends that just passed away, he was a referee. He was one of them that believe in myself. And I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna do it for him. And I'm gonna do it for everyone that has inspired me, that I'm not here today. And I'm gonna fight for them. And I'm gonna keep fighting for them, because that's what I do. That's what La Mera Mera does. And I'm gonna keep doing it, you like it or not.
Tell them.
I'm gonna make a change in this. I'm gonna make a change in this business.
I like it.
I have given everything I have. Everything, every time. There's been blood, there's been tears, there's been broken, everything. Because this is how much I believe on this. This is how much I believe in the AEW women's division. I have so much passion for what I'm doing. I have so much, I believe so much on every single person in that locker room. Because we're all in trenches. Regardless of like X, Y, and Z, it doesn't matter. We all want the same thing. We all want our division to grow and to be the best. And we're putting our part on what we can do to make that division better. We haven't been, like you said, we haven't been in the business yet for 20, 30 years.
Not in the capacity that you're talking about, right? Because you referenced bra and panties matches.
Yes.
You know, do you really want to go back to that? No, I like my superheroes co-main eventing and main eventing as women, which is an era of Thunder I never thought we'd get here, because I am a child of the bra and panties matches, of the women valets, right? I never thought we'd be seeing, you know, Becky Lynch busted nose setting up the story with Ronda Rousey, you in the lights out match against Britt Baker. I never thought we'd have those moments, you know what I mean? And I'm a guy, I wanted them. I didn't know I wanted them, but I never thought we'd be here. That's got to go double, triple, quadruple for the women workers out there.
There is so many, man. There is so many in the independent scene that paved the way for us. And they did that on the independent scene. Nobody saw it because it was in the independent scene. And now it's happening on mainstream media, right? So for me, it's a lot of responsibility because, yes, like that was a key moment in my life. It was a key moment in my career. I knew this was going to happen. From the moment I was brought to NWA, somebody there saw what I brought to the table. And every single time I get in the ring, I'm going to show what that person saw in me. Because he saw a champion. And I am a damn champion. Soy una campeona, cabrones. Les guste o no. In life and in everything. Because that's my legacy right here. This is my legacy. Because he doesn't stop here at AEW. And you guys know I went to Japan and I'm going to go to Mexico. And I'm going to go everywhere to show what real women can do. And this Saturday, Jamie, I'm fired up. I'm ready for you and your pussies and everybody else. If you want to bring the fucking locker room, bring it. I don't give a shit.
Well, we're breaking on that. The champ, Thunder Rosa, bringing, no pun intended, literally bringing the thunder to that microphone here on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. We're going to take a break, cool off a little bit. That is the champ. I'm Ryan McKinnell in for Dave LaGreca, and we are Busted Open.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. Familiar? You should be. Well, now you can catch Mad Dog's Daily Bite each day as a podcast, where you'll hear my thoughts and opinions on the biggest topics around the world of sports. NFL, baseball, golf, NBA, even the hockey. That you know you can count on. That's Mad Dog's Daily Bite. Drops daily anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can also hear me weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on Mad Dog Unleashed, Sirius XM Channel 82, or anytime on the SXM app.
The Ring of Honor World Champion. He is Claudio Castagnoli joining us here on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. Claudio, it's got to feel real good to get introduced as the Ring of Honor World Champion after all those years away, my guy.
It feels fantastic. It feels absolutely fantastic.
I can only imagine. And as we talk about it, first of all, thanks for joining us here on a Friday with myself and Thunder Rosa. You've got two champs on the line, Claudio. I just got to ask you, just to kick it off, right? Obviously, so much time spent in the WWE, but you began as a Ring of Honor original in so many ways. Did you ever think you would return to this place? Did you ever think in any sort of reality, any multiverse, if you will, Claudio, that you would be Ring of Honor World Champion?
Probably not, to be honest.
Yeah.
But also, you know, there's always people making these 5-year goals and 10-year goals or whatever, and people ask you where you want to be in the future. I was never able to answer those because to me, I just want to live in the moment and decide what's good for me now, because, you know, like everything changes. Every day something new comes up. So, that's how I think people should live their lives a little bit more in the now, because then you can enjoy what you're doing. So if the universe opened its way for me to return to Ring of Honor, I mean, I was more than happy to oblige and return to it and win that Ring of Honor World Championship that I never had before. So everything happens for a reason, you know?
I like that.
Claudio, I have a question. Hi again. I saw you yesterday, but I'm on the phone with you right now, and I'm probably going to see you later. But I'm just really curious because, I mean, you made a name for yourself in the independent scene, and then you become a huge star. I personally, you were one of my favorites in WWE because of what you brought and how different you were. How do you feel like in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years that you've been doing here? Like, how have you changed as a professional wrestler?
How did I change? To me, it's just kind of like learning by doing and learning on the job and learning from people that are ahead of you in ability, knowledge, and even like age. So, you know, it's like you can always learn from them. So to me, when I was in Ring of Honor, for me, the next logical step was WWE, because I felt I did about as much as I could in Ring of Honor. So I wanted to go to WWE to become better, to have more matches, to wrestle better guys, to just test myself. And then when I was at a similar point in my career, you know, 11 years later, I decided to come to AEW for the same reason, because it reinvigorates me. Great big word for me, by the way. You know, to just keep becoming better. There's a lot of young talent here that like is super motivating. To see what they can come up with, and to just test myself. So to me, it's always important that I never stop learning, because I always want to get better. And that, to me, was the most important part of my journey. I don't know if that exactly answers the question, but
no, it does. It does. It perfectly does. I'm actually pull my notebook and I'm writing these notes. You know, because
she is.
I mean, I can see, like, again, people like you is it motivates me to become a better wrestler, to become a better performer, because you are definitely like the epitome of like a great person that became an entertainer and it hasn't changed one bit, like in their core. And like, even what you say, like I'm living in the moment. Like that's one of the things that I now as a new like superstar I'm doing, because it's so hard to get lost in all the lights and the glamour and the fame. Right. And then when I see you in the locker room, you're just like, you're you. And I really do appreciate that.
Thank you. It is really hard, especially when you, I think even for the younger guys, probably, because I'm older now. Well, I've always been old, but so that's the glitz and the glamour and the success and whatever comes with it. You can just see yourself on a like different platform. For me, it was always like that. You cannot, keep the same friends, keep people who keep you honest, because there's plenty of people who tell you how awesome you are, but you need the people that keep you honest and keep you motivated and keep you working hard. Because if you want to keep performing at the level that I want to keep performing at, you cannot let go or like leave any slack. I just came back from the gym. That's why I'm just calling in, because I would look like a mess on Zoom. So, it's just like you need to find people who keep you working hard.
Yeah. Claudio Castagnoli talking about how you need people around you that keep you grounded, Claudio. I'm with you. That's why I only keep friends around me who tell me how much I suck. Listen, man, like growing up, like right, I shouldn't say like growing up, but like growing up in the business, right? Like, because you have been in this business for a very long time. It's why you're so beloved. It's why your name carries such reverence. But at some point, I know you kind of referenced it. You joked about it. You're an old soul. You've always been old, but that's not true. There was a point you were a young man in this game, and I'm just curious, as you impart that wisdom and set that sort of example for the next generation, who was that for you when you were coming up? What veterans really sort of set the table and sort of navigated you through those pro wrestling waters early on?
So when I see now guys go to wrestling school when they're, 16, 17, 18 years old, and they start wrestling super early. For example, like Wheeler Yuta and Delia Garcia, they're like, not even 25 yet. So I started wrestling when I was 20, right? And I finished business school and I had a regular job. I used to work for Johnson & Johnson in a pretty big position. So I felt like I had a certain, I experienced a certain part of like what regular work looked like and what normal work looked like. And I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love it. I would probably be still doing it if I wouldn't be doing this, because it was awesome. But in Europe, there were not that many guys that have been around. Like, they've been around long, but it was just like very small indies. The first guy that I ever met from WWF was Honky Tonk Man. And I think I told that recently. What he told me was like, at the promoter's house, had like a barbecue, and it was me and Honky Tonk Man, and he just talked to me for hour and a half, 2 hours, and it was like fascinating, because he was the first guy that was like a legend that I met. And he told me, he was like, you need three things to succeed in this business: is desire, dedication, and hard work. And I kind of never let go of that. Those are my three core things that I always think about. And also, I feel for somebody that comes from a different country to the U.S., you leave so much behind that you cannot afford to just wing it or to just take it easy, because there's a certain sacrifice that you had to give to come here and have that success. And I feel for any successful person, there is that moment of sacrifice or where they have to take a leap of faith. That's why they're successful, and just you can never forget that, and you always have to remember that. And then I'm not the one that's like to preach to the younger generation. I just like to kind of lead by example, and if you watch and if you look and if you care, you can pick some stuff up. But I think that was always important, to just lead by example and do good and do the best that you can every time you step in that ring.
Claudio, what you're saying just like really wrestling next with me. I mean, I lived in Mexico when I was 17. This country was, you know, it's given me everything. And like, that's one of the things that I go by. Like, I never forget where I came from. As a foreigner, being a professional wrestler, how difficult was it for you to like, you know, get be accepted?
I feel the wrestling community is super acceptable, acceptable. That's not the right word. It's super welcoming for everybody. That's at least the experience I've been through, because what I love about wrestling so much, it is that it's so diverse, that it's so, there's something for everybody. You know what I mean? Like when I grew up, I watched WWF and WCW, and New Japan was on TV for a bit. And it was just, no matter what, you'll find something that you like. Like, you know, when wrestling was cool when all the kids, or like, you know, when I grew up and wrestling was cool for only like a year or two in Switzerland. But every single person had a kind of different favorite, because you just gravitate towards different guys, different looks, different colors, whatever that may be. So I always found, you know, obviously there are certain aspects of it that are harder coming from a different country, that like, you know, for example, talking is obviously way harder, communicating, the whole culture shock, all that kind of thing. But then I also feel it has some benefits, because, you know, wrestling has always been about, you know, different characters and different things. So if you're foreigner, that also kind of helps you, because you're kind of an oddity in a weird way that can be promoted and can be featured, you know.
Well, it's as you said too, it is kind of a worldwide brand. We've been lucky that, you know, pro wrestling has been around for damn near centuries in a sense, Claudio. So I think there is some familiarity there, but yeah, not to take away from Thunder said, it's definitely an uphill battle in many, many regards. Now we talk about an uphill battle, Claudio. I know how much, or I can only imagine how much winning the Ring of Honor World Championship meant to you, especially given your history with that company and everything that came in between. Now, one of those things that came in between was obviously a very long and very successful run in the WWE. But Claudio, when you were carrying that Cesaro banner and you were doing what you were doing, myself and so many others were out there clamoring, begging, hoping, wishing for a main title run, right? The equivalent of the Ring of Honor World Championship, something to mark our fandom in you, and a tip of the cap to you for all the hard work you've done. I've got to ask, if the time comes and goes, and if you never go back there, and that and whatever the future may hold, right? Like, are you going to be okay never being a champion in the WWE like that? Because I'm very curious as to your answer.
You know, like you mentioned in the beginning of your question, and Rosa said it earlier too, it is an uphill battle. It is an uphill battle for everybody, and it is an uphill battle for the wrestling business too, to be accepted. So that's also why I always feel you have to carry yourself with a certain grace, especially because of what people may expect a professional wrestler to be.
I like
or
that.
To act or to look like. So to me, even if my WWE career was, an uphill battle, since you're using that word. It was a great uphill battle, because to me, even if I never won or will win that big title that you said, I feel I took my fans on the ride. I stayed true to myself, and I feel that just gave me a bigger bond with the wrestling fans, or my fans in general, because I read this very, very good phrase the other day that said, if I would have won the title, right, that would have been like the end of it, kind of, you know what I mean? It would have been like, okay, he won the title, he's good now, that's it.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of find like what's next. So like, everybody's always looking for that destination, right? But it is the journey, right? It is the middle of it. That's so awesome. That's so important. That's where you make all your friends. That's where you make all your memories, and people forget that. That's why I said, like, the living in the now. Yes, it would have been awesome, and I think I would have made a great champion. But if I look back, I had some amazing moments that you couldn't fabricate. That was just thanks to me and the fans that made those moments special. And I won the first ever Honor the Giant Memorial Battle Royal that nobody ever be able to take away from me. So
that is right.
It was an uphill battle. If it was an uphill battle, I'm very thankful for it. And I'm very glad so many people came on that journey with me, because who knows where that journey will take me, and it will just be that much more of a success. And on top of that, people will not remember me because, oh yeah, he was, I don't know, so and so many times to be the champion. They remember me despite never being the champion. And yeah. I think that's a big accomplishment as well.
Well, Thunder, if there was any question as to why this man is so beloved in the pro wrestling space, I think that answer pretty much encapsulated it pretty well. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, enjoying the moment,
right.
like enjoying the journey, you know how difficult that is sometimes, because you hit it right. You hit it right on the nails. Like, once you become a champion, it's like, you know, what's the next thing? Yeah, the next big thing I want to do. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be like, wow, I have this. I worked so hard for this. Let me enjoy this for a minute, you know? And yeah. if something happens that is bigger, awesome. If not, I'm just going to go with it and go with the flow. And it's so hard because of how fast things are happening and how the expectations, like you were saying, again, I'm going to repeat what you were saying, that people have about entertainers, that people have about wrestlers, of what we have to do to be quote unquote successful or look successful. And it is so refreshing to see that there's people as successful as you are that have that mentality and continue to move forward. You know, it's just, it's to me, it's beautiful. Thank you. I want to appreciate what you said. I want to say thank you. I needed to hear you. That.
And to me, it's, yeah, like when you champ, a lot of people then like forget. Like, this is my first, the Ring of Honor World Championship is my first championship. And I just enjoy it because I know I'm still going to work as hard. And I'm still going to do the same that I did before, because a lot of people they change, you know, when they win titles, because they get so anxious.
Yes, they do.
And like this thing, like, but here's the thing, like, I understand it, you know, because like I've been around it, I've seen it, and I think that's the benefit of me being, as we said earlier, old, because I've seen it and I've seen other people go through it. So I like to, again, like what we talked about earlier, just help, you know, the younger generation or like people who want to listen, that like you just enjoy it because it's going to be gone. And then you're going to be like, oh man, I wish I would have, you know, and like that's something that like I learned the hard way. And like, obviously, like I went through the same thing, anxiousness and doubting and all that stuff that everybody else goes through. It's just, you need to surround yourself, I feel, with a good number of friends, that help you through that. And luckily I always had that to help me. But it's a great journey, and you're the champ, so enjoy it.
I am.
truer words have never been spoken. And you talk about that belt, you talk about the Ring of Honor World Championship. We're here with Ring of Honor World Champion Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio, we appreciate the time. I'm about to get you out of here, but I do have to ask, with that belt comes a target with you in Ring of Honor, AEW, comes a myriad, Claudio, of dream matches. And for a lot of us, you've got one in 24 hours, sir, against Takeshita at Battle of the Belts 3. We are excited for it. I don't know how excited you are, because you're going to be over there exchanging some violence, but that has to be on some level. Working with a young guy like that, we talk about dream matches. Takeshita, let's go, Claudio. How excited are you for tomorrow at Battle of the Belts?
Oh, I was just going to bring that up next. You know, Takeshita is definitely somebody that I had on the radar. Maybe not at first when I came to AEW, but then,
right.
You know, his match with Hangman, with Eddie Kingston, with Mox. And in many different ways, he reminds me of a younger version of me, you know, coming to the United States, just trying to make a name for yourself. And it's great because he got a chance to show what he's got, and he gave it his all. And then he got, you know, another chance and another, and, you know, with the next 24 hours, he has a chance to win his first title in North America. It won't happen, but I'm super excited. my Ring of Honor, you know, World Championship against him, because the Ring of Honor World Championship has so much history. I mean, it's been around for so long, for, you know, over 15 years, and it's been defended all over the world. So to have my first title defense against him, you know, being a Swiss man against a Japanese fellow, it's going to be amazing. And to me, that's what it's all about. It's about different styles, people from different backgrounds, just fighting it out for the most prestigious title. So I'm super excited. It's going to be an awesome show, and hopefully there'll be many more dream matches. So who knows?
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Mary Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.